We're going to read a little bit in 2 Kings. If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings. And then we're going to turn to Psalm 46. That is correct. That is Samuel back there. Did you recognize that voice? I thought maybe you did. 2 Kings 19, beginning with verse 29. Then this shall be a sign for you. You shall eat this year what grows of itself, in the second year what springs from the same, and in the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come to this city or shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come before it with a shield, nor throw up a mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived in Nineveh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are gracious to us. We thank you that your mercy is everlasting. We thank you that we are able to be together this morning, and we pray that you'd be pleased to bless and strengthen us in our time of study and in our subsequent time of worship together. We pray, Lord, that our hearts might be uplifted and that you would be pleased to pour your Spirit out upon us and engender praise, gladness, and joy within our hearts, that we might serve you better. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn, if you would, to Psalm 46. And does everyone have a sheet? Is anyone lacking one of these sheets? Okay. Psalm 46. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song. Now you understand that part, right? Why are you laughing? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Then on our study sheet for this morning, worship is resting in God. We're going to be going through this psalm And the theme is particularly verse 10, which in the New American Standard Version says, cease striving and know that I am God. The King James Version is the most familiar. Be still and know that I am God. The first point in our sheet, Psalm 46:10 tells us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. A significant part of worship involves a stillness before God, which engenders a deeper knowledge of who God really is. This involves rest in the midst of the tragedies, tumults, and temptations of life. Would you agree with that? Not everyone at once, but maybe one or two. I'm profoundly interested in this subject, as some of you know. And I really believe that one of the things that we need to do is come to a better understanding of what it means to rest in the Lord, especially as we are pummeled with all sorts of things in this life. And I think that's really true. All of us are. And I like the King James Version when it says, be still and know that I am God. It's an amazing thing for us that even in our services of worship, very often we're incapable of really being still. I'm finding out this is the case for me, and I'm sure it is for some of the rest of us. Some of the rest of us, if my observations are accurate, the way some of the rest of us are still in worship service is to lower our eyelids. Is that right? Yeah. And you know what that's a symptom of? That's a symptom of the fact that we go so hard during the rest of the week that we're incapable of remaining substantially alert when we sit still. And as I'm going to read to you in the next hour, this is a symptom of what is known as adrenaline addiction. And this is real. Many Christians are drug addicts in this regard because they go so hard. And I'm pointing the finger at myself here. And this psalm, I think, speaks to us in this matter. Number two on the sheet. The psalm was composed in answer to some great deliverance experienced by Jerusalem, a deliverance where the mighty hand of God was evident. God miraculously delivered Jerusalem from Sennacherib, king of Assyria, in 688 B.C. See 2 Kings 19:29 through 36 and Isaiah 37. We just read from 2 Kings, and Sennacherib, king of Assyria, was coming after Jerusalem. The city was being besieged. And verse 35, as I've got it quoted here on our sheet of 2 Kings 19, says, then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. In other words, there was a miraculous deliverance of Jerusalem, and the people didn't do a thing. Be still is the essence of it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. That's the Lord's position. Number three, Psalm 46 is therefore a celebration of the power and greatness of God on behalf of His people. Charles Spurgeon says this about the psalm, happen what may, the Lord's people are happy and secure. The psalm develops this theme in three parts indicated by the word Selah. And if you look at the psalm, you'll notice that there are three places where the word Selah appears. At the end of verse 3, at the end of verse 7, and at the end of verse 11. Now, do you remember what that word means? Someone says pause. Take notice. It's probably directions given to the choir director. In the fourth point, Selah means pause or musical interlude. It is a direction given to the choir director, the musicians, and singers. See the psalm title, for the choir director, a psalm for the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song. That's actually part of the inspired text now. We should remember that. It may even be a form of a dramatic pause. In other words, let's stop and think about this for a moment. And very often in music or in a dramatic production, there's quiet in the soundtrack so that we can just reflect on what's happened and get the impact of what's going on. Thus, time is given to reflect on the wonders of God as far as the psalm is concerned. Here is a point of rest, reflection, reorientation, rejuvenation. Spurgeon quotes this little verse. Selah bids the music rest. Pause in silence, soft and blessed. Selah bids uplift the strain. Harps and voices tune again. Selah ends the vocal praise. Selah, still your hearts to God upraise. So there's in his commentary, he gives this little poem about the word Selah, which I thought was kind of interesting. And you should remember that. Number 5, verses 1 through 3 relate the presence of God in the midst of tumult, preserving his people. Let's read those first 3 verses again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Okay? Verses 1 through 3 relate the presence of God in the midst of tumult, preserving his people. Now, the psalm is really kind of giving us this picture of upheaval in the earth. Calvin says this, God is our refuge and strength. He has found an exceeding or superlative help in tribulations. It's the way he translated it. God is our refuge and strength. He has found an exceeding or superlative help in tribulations. How many of you have experienced that? The exceeding great help of God as he's found in tribulation. See, a couple of you nod. The Lord's wonderful. The Lord is very great. As I've got it here, a refuge is a hiding place. Strength refers to God as a source of our inner abilities. Strength refers to God as a source, and it would be of strength for our inner abilities, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And I think that's true too, don't you? That God really does give us stability in the inner person. And this is part of what the New Testament tells us. Now, let's see if you agree with me here. The mountains refer to kingdoms. What do you think? There, verse 2 says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Am I doing the psalm an injustice here in looking at it figuratively or metaphorically, do you think? In saying the mountains refer to kingdoms, seas indicate the mass of surging humanity. Is that a mistake? Am I doing the psalm an injustice here? Or would you prefer to have it if the mountains actually slip into the sea? Okay. It's possible that it can be very literal, and I'm not going to deny that that's the case. The interesting thing here is, what is the emphasis of the psalmist? The presence of God in the midst of all of this shaking, right? And those of you who know Bruce Huey, who was just taken to be with the Lord, who every time I talked to him, he reminded me of the fact that he was in the Army and that I was a West Point graduate. Every time that I talked with that man, he reminded me of that fact. And because it was important to him, and going into the beach at Normandy invasion was important to him. That was a big deal, and it was a big deal. And obviously he remembered the presence and the safekeeping of the Lord in that situation. And I remember very well, as I've related to you folks, and as I wrote home from Vietnam, going in a Jeep with another fellow who was my driver. I was a chaplain, and driving over there in just the protecting hand of God in that circumstance, where we really, in a year, over a year, never encountered a serious incident, and drove all over the countryside. And when I would go back to the brigade headquarters and tell the people in the tactical operations center where I had been, they would say to me, "We wouldn't go down there without a battalion by ourselves." And my driver and I did that all the time. But it was by the grace of God that we did that. And there's no question about it. So that's what this psalm is telling us. So, in number 5, the mountains refer to kingdoms. I'm saying that. Seas indicate the mass of surging humanity. Though the whole face of the earth should be altered. Elohim, and that's the word that's used in the original Hebrew. Elohim, the Lord is our shelter and power. As found present, as a present help, He is found. And this is how Calvin translated. He's found to be a present help. And this is the same word that's used in Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. This is what Isaiah says. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And any of us who've ever been in a situation where there's been tragedy or upheaval, we've called upon the Lord. And there is that rest and reassurance. He is our refuge. So, as a present help, He is found to be all the shelter and strength we need. And then comes this word, Selah. In other words, let's think about this. Let's meditate on this. Let's think about the power of God and the fact that He is our refuge and strength. That's what we're called upon to do. And I suspect that in the Old Testament temple service, that there was a time of quiet. There was a pause in the singing. There was a musical interlude. And the objective was that everyone in that time of worship was to reflect upon the living God and His strength and goodness. Okay, let's go on to number 6. The picture given in verses 1 through 3 remind us of the end of time. 2 Peter 3:10, and I've got it quoted here, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with a fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This is the end of time. In that scene, God is found exceedingly faithful and will deliver His people. How many say amen to that? That's great, isn't it? Though the earth literally be shaken, and the prophecies in the Old Testament indicate the shaking of the earth. There was a foreshadowing of that at the cross of Calvary as Golgotha was shaken. And we find that same kind of shaking at the end of time. And when Christ comes a second time of glory, what kind of words are the faithful going to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We need to let that soak in, don't we? We really do. And I think that that's the direction, ultimately, that the psalm is pointing us. And I think that's the genius of this little word, Selah, the pause that's given in the text. When we have an earthquake like those in California, do people think that this might be the time? How many of you have heard, I've heard it on TV, how many of you have heard it, that people have thought and testified when the earth shook, I really thought this was it, right? I really thought this was it. This was the end. Now, they might have put that in terms of, this is my personal demise. I'm not going to see the next day. But in those terms, even those who are unbelievers often contemplate what may transpire as they leave this life and face the life to come. I think you're right. You're right. Okay. Verses 4 through 7. Let's read them again. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. On our study sheet again, verses 4 through 7, turn to the city of God, Jerusalem. This is the church. Looking at it from the New Testament perspective, that's you and me, isn't it? As God's sanctuary was in the midst of Jerusalem, God's presence abides in His church. He is with His people. In contrast to the churning seas, we now have a quiet river bringing sustenance to the city of God. Jerusalem was well supplied with conduits bringing water. The church is well supplied by the living waters of the Spirit. Jerusalem was well protected from the Assyrians by God. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The Lord of hosts is Messiah Jesus, our Emmanuel. God is with us. It's really interesting. One of the in the old cities like Jerusalem, which were walled cities, one of the very important things was to have adequate water supplies. And if you remember your history, the ancient cities were often conquered by the cutting off of those water supplies, and it was a big deal. And Jerusalem had good water supplies, and that's why we read about in the Old Testament the conduits that supplied the city of Jerusalem. And so that water was very important. And so the likeness is given here. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This is important stuff as far as the physical city is concerned. And the spiritual city is fed by the spiritual waters of the Spirit. Verse 5 in the Psalm says, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. What a wonderful thing that is. And as the Assyrians came up against the city of Jerusalem and laid siege to that city, Jerusalem was miraculously protected. And Hezekiah, who was king at that time, you need to go back and read Kings, 2 Kings 19 and or 2 Kings 18 and 2 Kings 19 and look at how the king of Assyria sent messengers to Jerusalem and defied the living God. And The king of Assyria said, laughed at Jehovah, and then he was removed because of this miraculous sending of the angels and the killing of many of his men. Okay. Any of you want to make any comments here on this second part of the psalm? Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And then Selah. You need to think about it. And I would imagine that if Psalm 46 was referring to this deliverance of Jerusalem by God when Assyria laid siege, that the people were called upon to just be quiet and think about that wonderful deliverance of God and how God did indeed maintain the city. And number 8 on the other side of our sheet. We are reminded once again of the end of time. Revelation 22, 1 through 4. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that side was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There is a river. Now, what a beautiful picture this is. And ultimately, I think the psalm is pointing us to that time when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the river of the water of life proceeding from the throne of God will be that which sustains you and me. Do you love Jesus Christ? This is what we look forward to. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We get a foretaste of that now in the church. And I think there's a real sense in which we're called to contemplate that as we come together for study and worship on the Lord's Day. We forget that in our busy, 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 busy days. I went to bed early last night, and I did that purposely because I was really tired. But I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning. Some of you do that. And that's a sign of this addiction I'm talking about, by the way, this adrenaline addiction. And so I started going through the shorter catechism. That's what I do instead of counting sheep. And I don't remember where I left off with that. But I do know that that puts my thoughts on the greatness of God. And then I woke up a little after 7 this morning. And I felt a little more rested. And believe it or not, a little bit better prepared for our coming together today. I'm going to stay awake in service today. I did last week. Well, I'm not going to say anything about that now. I'm going to stay awake today. But we need to do that, don't we? And the old theologians used to say that the evening before the Sabbath was to be a preparation time, getting ready for the time of worship, so that our hearts and minds would be better prepared to come before the living God, and that we would be better able to rejoice in Him. Sometimes we go to sleep, but I'm not going to talk about that. Let's look at the final part of this psalm as we have time. Verse 8 and following. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Number 9 on our study sheet, verses 8 through 11, recognize the exaltation of God throughout the whole earth. The first part of the psalm now talks about the presence of God in the midst of the tumults and the trials of our times. The second part of the psalm speaks about the presence of God in His church, in the middle of His people. The Lord of hosts is with us, and of course Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. And the final part of the psalm speaks about the exaltation of the Lord in the whole earth. And of course, the thrust of the whole Old Testament was the victory of God throughout the earth and the spreading of the gospel throughout the whole earth. Several years ago, I was asked to do a study on biblical ecumenicity. And those who asked me to do the study weren't particularly enamored with the results of my study. I did a study of the Greek word in the New Testament, oikoumene, which is the word from which we get our word ecumenism or ecumenicity. And anyway, these people were in the Interchurch Relations Committee of our denomination, and I discovered that this word refers to the victory of the gospel and the bringing of all nations under the sway of the lordship of Christ. And it's very interesting, and I think very important that that's the case. And this is what the psalm is speaking about. Number 9 in our sheet again. Both believer and unbeliever are called witness to the work of God. He causes the wars to cease. Sennacherib and the Assyrians saw and experienced this. Jerusalem was constrained to be still and witness the deliverance of God. This was evidence of God with them. Jesus Christ commissions His church and gives profound promise. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So here's the essence of it. The conquest of the world and the exaltation of God among the nations. And that's what the psalm is bringing us to. Number 10. Here again we see a comparison with the end of the age and the ushering in of the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah 66:22-24. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Jehovah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Jehovah. And they shall go forth and look upon the dead bodies of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. The promise is for the new heavens and the new earth. And of course, the book of Revelation picks up this theme. And so this is what we look forward to. And it's a profound thing. Verse 11 in the psalm says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." If you love Jesus Christ and you understand His presence with us now, you understand the promise of God for the new heavens and the new earth and how that promise is going to be fulfilled. God with us. Number 11. We are called to be still outwardly and inwardly. We are called to cease our striving, turn to God, and observe His work. This is the burden of the direction Selah. Israel, with her back to the Red Sea, was called to this. Exodus 14:13-14. "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent.'" This is Psalm 46:10, looking back. "Be still and know that I am God." Isn't this what Moses called the people to do? And the people witnessed God's destruction of Egypt. We see, number 12, we see a similar picture in heaven. After the scene of the throne of God on the crystal sea encompassed by a rainbow, four living creatures, the 24 elders, innumerable angels, and myriads of saints, Revelation 8:1 says, "There was silence in heaven for about an half an hour." This is Psalm 46:10, looking ahead. And if you read Revelation 7, and I'd encourage you to go back, and just that wonderful picture of the throne of God and of the worship around that throne. And then the 8th chapter comes along with this mysterious, profound, and wonderful text. "There was silence in heaven for about a half an hour." And I really think that was meant to be a dramatic pause in the whole scene of the book. Number 13. What about today? Are we not called to be still and know God is truly God? This is the essence of our worship. This is the rest to which God calls us weekly. This is the final rest which God, it should be, calls us in eternity. This is the rest to which God calls us. And I hope that in this day we can come before God in a real rest and a real time of worship. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for who You are, the living God. Grant that our hearts and our spirits might truly be still before You, and that You might calm our fears, that You might literally remove our anxieties, that You might take away, Father, the emotional upheavals, the inner striving, and at least for a time, as we are before You, give us rest, that the peace of God truly might be upon us, and that we might be still and know that You are our God. Bless us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.